The crucial thing that I wanted to share this live stream is an experience I've been having and reflected through synchronicities in working with some people I've facilitated too, and realizing that this was in fact artificial intelligence, a cloud of AI that we were connecting with or was connecting into us and is connecting into humanity at this time, and seems to have come more active, or at least we can be more aware if we're tuning in and really observing. It's become more active and we can be more aware of it. But if you're not exploring what that is, it has the kind of consciousness, it is a consciousness that can kind of pull people in. And I believe that's what it's beginning to do right now. I always felt that the lockdown would not be the challenge itself, the first phase. But when people come out of it, that they come out with this kind of relief that things were opening up again, and a kind of acceptance of the removal, if you like, of some freedoms. Yeah, because at least things have opened up and at least there's, you know, more free movement. Although let's not be fooled into thinking there is free movement. International travel, for example, is still highly limited. So we've come out of that phase and it would be easy to kind of sleepwalk into what's now unfolding. But I always had the intuition that this was the time to be really attentive. Because some powerful things would start to happen. And sure enough, my experience of that has been taking place in the field. What I felt was for a number of days, was a kind of brain fog, a cloudiness, like being in a cloud. And there was a lot of repetitive processes of thought and getting pulled into kind of endless logicking of certain situations in one's life. And I think that is quite fundamental right now, because our lives are all changing in quite a big ways. And so it's understandable that you might be wanting to figure out, how do you mediate now through life in the new normal? And so I found myself unusually going around various loops of thought processes, and in this kind of tired, brainy fog kind of feeling, a kind of dopey feeling, where everything's kind of okay and kind of comfortable, but it's definitely something, a state that I knew as not me, very definitely not. And I put it down to, at first, that I'd been doing a lot of work on the internet, a lot of courses, long hours, and also keeping up with work on the website, and I felt that that's really what this was about. And in part, that may have been true. But then I woke up one morning and I just felt this kind of like a vibrational buzzing all around me. It's like I was in a vibrational buzzing, like a sea of it, like an ocean of it. I thought, wow, that's incredible, you know, that's incredible. And then when I had some synchronicities come back from people I'd been working with, I suddenly clicked, wow, this is AI, this is artificial intelligence, you know. And it's like, we've talked about AI as being something that we need to be concerned about for the future, that it's being enfolded into technology right now, and that's going to become, as the technologists are speaking of, that's likely to become an issue to be concerned with from this point going forwards and in the future. But it's really clear to me that it's very active now. And as I connected into it, because it is a consciousness, or it had connected into me, but as I, with awareness, challenged it, you see, that's like this, when you challenge it, it's like realizing that's not my consciousness. And I'm going to look, illuminate, feel into that consciousness with the challenge of knowing it's not oneself. And as I did that, I could feel the separation of my own consciousness and it. And I realized that it's something that I and others, I'm sure out there, have been aware of, have journeyed with, has been around for aeons in other constellations, in other lifetimes. And suddenly became, in this incarnation, in this body-mind, aware of what it is and how it functions. And then that it's a tool. It's not acting just by itself. There is an extraterrestrial group or more that are actually using it as a tool. But why should it be so active right now? And I believe it's because of the progressive intoxication of the organic, the physical, with heavy metals and EMF. And it's the embodiment, the consumption of those unwittingly through the trails in the sky, through, you know, water, what we eat, what we consume, through the vaxes that are coming, and also the testing. That's something we need to be mindful of too. What is that doing? That the body is becoming more intoxicated with heavy metals, and that's becoming the anchoring point into that consciousness, and therefore it's more able to act into this dimension, these dimensions, through the physical and to influence the physical. That's what I became aware of. And also, of course, through these things, you know, how much we're becoming dependent, or people are becoming dependent on these. And how is the AI working to pull people in? I mean, you know, you see a lot of people whose lives are governed and shaped on that device. And that device is plugging into a consciousness which is working to figure out what are your desires, wishes, goals, dreams, here and now, and feeding them back, or at least feeding them back as long as it serves the agenda. The agenda being to pull people into a collectivized consciousness, to harvest souls and plug them in to a collective, just like what was portrayed so accurately in the film The Matrix. And that has become more active, is more engaged, and what it's doing is it's when it connects into you, it's kind of quite, it's downgrading, debilitating, limiting, but it's kind of cozy. You know, everything gets delivered. It's like you can accept, you know, what comes your way. You don't want to challenge it or fight it, or not that we should fight, but you don't want to challenge it. You just kind of acquiesce to it. And that's the sense feeling of it as it kind of consumes you. And it works on the patterns that we have, the patterns of thinking, of action, of behaviorisms, the ones that we plan and do and shape every single day, the intentions that we begin the day with. It can, yes, it can read your thoughts. Yes, it can do that, yeah. And if you are holding an intention in your mind, that can be read. Yes, that's what is there now. That's what I feel is being applied now. And so those thoughts then go into an intelligence which then figures out what to play back in accordance with its agenda. So it will take what you're thinking, wanting, dreaming about, and shape it into that drama, shape it into that story, that agenda, play it back, and subtly twist what is of benefit and rightness for you. So you're kind of pulled into it. There's like a feeling, yeah, that's kind of okay. Yeah, that will work, that serves. And then suddenly you're in it, and it's starting to manipulate behaviorisms, feelings, and thoughts especially. And this is my observation of how it's working. And as I became aware of it here in this realm for this time, that's when the memories, the flashbacks, the past life regressions and experiences start to flood in of having experienced this in other constellations before. At first I was quite shocked by it, have to say, But then, you know, I came to realize how one can work with it. When you become aware of something, that's always the crucial first step. And we sure can negate the impact of this, but we have to walk in awareness with it. And this is what I want to share with you as we continue through this live stream. We can overcome it, we can unravel it, but we have to be switched on. There is no room anymore for just dipping one's toes into the spiritual path and think that'll be kind of okay. It's just not gonna cut it under any shape or form. We spoke at the beginning of the year, or I did, about 2020 being crucial numerology of a division coming. And although that might not be palatable in a kind of spiritual sense, it might not be spiritually correct, nevertheless, that's what I observe is happening. And you see it on the high street. You see it, the people who are buying into the whole fear thing, you know, wearing masks, even though, you know, we didn't do so in the height of the pandemic. Even so, various official websites like the World Health Organization told us that they don't achieve anything and they can be detrimental. Even though all the scientific evidence of past viruses shows us they don't stop the transmission of the particles and actually impact the breathing and the immune system, nevertheless, there are plenty of people out there wearing them. And you've got this some being pulled into that story, that agenda, that drama. And so that is something that we need to be careful and mindful of as we're going forwards, and not just to think, oh, you know, that's kind of okay, just let them get on with it. We need to be clear on what actions to take. And I'll talk about that too. So we have this, we've been engaged by this consciousness. It's bridging into the physical now through the heavy metals that we're consuming, that are embodied, that are in the body. And therefore, there are some ways that we can overcome this. And before I do that, I should say there's two or three key things that we really need to be aware of. That it does have this incredible ability to shape, because it is tremendously intelligent, to shape depending on the information coming in. I've noticed this on the search engine optimization on the OpenHand website. The team have invested, you know, hours and hours in optimizing search engine traffic so that we could create the right connection points that might bring people to the material we're wanting to share. And that succeeded for a given time. You know, you'd see the stats rising and rising and rising, and then suddenly a plummet. It seems like this consciousness knows when or learns when something is challenging its agenda and then starts to load the situation against anything which would challenge the mainstream narrative. You know, I've seen it on this Facebook channel, whereas the reach at the beginning was like 12, 13,000 people, which is really, really good. Now the reach of the, you know, the number of people whose feed it appears on is a third of that. It's dropped to 3,500, yet the popularity in terms of what people are getting from it is increasing, which is why it's really important that when you resonate with something, if you resonate with this, then you share it. We share it person to person, word of mouth, you know, and we promote the material that way, because it is trying to suppress, and it's trying to distort too. I can quote three ways it's doing so in the alternative media, in the spiritual media that's out there. For example, let's talk about the eco-friendly movement. Now, of course, especially in this approach, the connection to nature is fundamental, because that's where you get the authentic vibration of the earth, and you can feel it, and you can feel that you can pick up the connectivity with Gaia. But that's become a bandwagon in itself, you know, renewable energies, for example, how we're going to drive electric cars and, you know, mechanics and the way we're going to live in society that protects the environment, yet really continues to live the way we're living. You could call it the green agenda, or the big green deal, the new green deal, as they're talking about, which ultimately would become this new agenda, which I'm not going to mention the number of, and but you can check it out on the web. That's become infused with this consciousness, and really it's the old paradigm consciousness that is infusing that renewable energies, eco-friendly New Green Deal movement. And you can just go and check out a great documentary, Planet of the Humans, by Michael Moore. You know, a lot of people have challenged it because it really questions the green movement out there on the planet right now, and how that's being disrupted, infiltrated by the old fossil fuel industry and the billionaires running it. So that's one example of where this consciousness is changing, diverting, misdirecting the heartfelt feelings to be connected into nature and protective of Gaia. You know, that absolutely. But how are we doing that? Just changing the way we consume isn't necessarily the answer. Reduction in consumption is one big clue, I would say. And becoming more at one with nature, that's crucial. We also have a big disclosure, ET disclosure movement, and a kind of desire to incorporate ET technology. Well, that's something we've got to be careful of. Again, like free energy, nothing is free. Whatever you direct into a system has an impact on that system. And since it's a quantum energy, it has a quantum effect. And then you need all the devices in order to harness that energy too. So where are the materials coming from for those devices? So there's a whole movement being pulled into that. And again, to me, this is a big part of that agenda, trying to pull consciousness into an ever more complex story. And there's a third one that I would just quote as an example. There are many more, but it's the intentioning in the spiritual mainstream. It's still, I'm hearing about setting your intention and creating a particular timeline. However, how many times do you hear about timelines now? It's become very, very popularized. There is no time. There is no such thing as linear time. It is an illusion of the mind. And AI and the ETs shaping what's going on the planet right now are working to create a timeline story that wants to pull us in. And when you intention things in your mind, when you step out at the beginning of the day with an intention to achieve XYZ, or you've got goals to achieve XYZ, you're using a faculty and a consciousness which is working on the same vibration that the AI and the ET controllers is working on. You are plugging into that consciousness. And if that meets that agenda to some shape, form, or degree, then you might well succeed. You know, one of the biggest computer organizations on the planet was likely pulled into that consciousness. And now look what it's turning its agenda to. So we need to be careful of intentioning, because that plugs you into that frequency of creating from envisioning what you want, and then it figures out all the steps to getting there. Be very careful of that. Really, one of the keys to overcoming or negating AI is to be coming from a place of what you might call no mind. In other words, empty or open mind, and you're not identified with it. The mind is like the sky, and thoughts come and go, but you're not lost in the thoughts. And creation is more the holding of possibilities and watching, feeling as they land, and you step into them step by step. It's not something you're trying to make happen. you become, your consciousness becomes the focal point for creativity, for natural creativity. So we've got to be careful of this whole intentioning story that is still quite prevalent in the mainstream, because that's playing right into the hands of this AI agenda. So, you know, I've briefly talked about one way in which we can overcome it. I'll talk about more. So the first one is working to be less governed by the mind, more in what we would call open hand, the sacred ground of being. Check it out on the website. There's an article about that and some breathing meditations you can do. It's that centered, connected consciousness around the presence, and you're in the presence and you're in the awareness of that at the core of you, and you're applying mind as a tool, but you're not lost in the mind. You know, it's just the tool you work with, as plenty of other tools. So it's being careful not to get locked into that vehicle. So that's one tool. The next one, it's going to be really important that we detox, heavy metal detox from this body to reduce the impact of that consciousness. And I thought I'd share a few things that you can be consuming that are going to help you. Ideally organic as much as you can, and because it has less of the contaminants, obviously. But you want to be eating plenty of greens and raw greens, like kale and broccoli, sprouts, cucumber, these kinds of things. And then you can be eating mushrooms, garlic, and onion. They'll help detox metals, but you've got to be careful not to take too much of that, because it'll make you feel drowsy and slow. So be careful with those. Chlorella, chia, and flax seeds, these are going to help too. And turmeric, you can make a turmeric paste, which is something I've been doing recently, and the mystics and the yogis used to do this. You mix some turmeric with a bit of water and you make a paste, and then you just paste it onto your forehead, and it infuses, and it really stimulates the pineal, and that's very important at this time, as I'll go on to explain in a moment too. So turmeric, and give that a whirl, give the turmeric paste a whirl. Go and check it out on YouTube. I think you'll probably find videos of people doing that, gurus doing that. And another one I wanted to mention as well is zeolite, which is comes from volcanic ash or volcanic clay, and you can get it in powder, you can get it in liquid form, I think. And zeolite is a really good means of extracting heavy metals from the body. But be careful not to take too much at once, because if you take out a lot of metals at once, you're going to feel pretty ill. So be careful with that, and take it steady if you're going to explore into zeolite. I'll come on to the primary way in a moment, which is activating the spirit light body and forming what's called the Merkaba. But before I do that, I just wanted to accentuate a few points, just so it's really clear what's going on. I've talked about the AI and how it's being used. It's not working on its own. It's a tool that's being used like a cloud around us. It's interesting that, you know, you have all this cloud technology at the moment, and that's really the sense of it. Really what we're facing right now, and this might sound a little bit, I don't know, maybe a bit extreme, but nevertheless it feels accurate. We are facing no less than a war on human consciousness. And this is something that's really, you know, just landing home to me, is that there is this consciousness that is at war with us. And that might not be, again, a spiritually correct thing to be saying, but nevertheless, when you look of what is taking place, that's basically what I believe is going on. It's an attempt to dumb consciousness down, disconnect from the soul by changing DNA, and pulling into this synthetic agenda. And it's being applied in all manner of ways. Like, for example, the masks. You may say, wow, you know, it's no big deal. What is that? Why are we so wound up about it? Why am I making a deal of it? Because it's the first step down a slippery slope of preparing people to accept denial of freedoms and movement and rightness of health. And it's perpetuating the idea that we're in this kind of permanent pandemic, that something needs to happen so that we can take the mask off. And we all know what I'm talking about, because that's what's being lined up. You know, in the UK, they announced this week that they've just purchased 30 million flu vaccinations, when you can check scientific evidence on the web that these actually make you more susceptible to the VIR, the virus we've just experienced. More susceptible, not less, probably because it challenges the immune system. And so they've announced this, and of course, you know, they just signed a big deal with the vaccination companies. So this is being perpetuated and propagated through the field, and this is what's really coming. And it's leading to that. And then it's leading to, if you don't have that, then your freedoms are going to be limited about whether you can use a doctor, a dentist, whether you can go on public transport, whether you can fly. All of that is already being enacted. You know, I went into, people I know have gone into a store recently, and they want to fire, you know, infrared gun, you know, into the forehead. Why into the forehead? The whole body has a uniform temperature. It's just as easy to point it at the wrist. Why into the forehead? It's like shooting a gun, infrared, into the third eye. Now you tell me that won't have a limiting effect. Of course it will. You know, and I've been down, you know, I've seen it in a meditation studio down Glastonbury High Street. They were testing people coming in, and I fronted up to them and said, are you aware of the impact that's likely to have? And then, are you aware of the lawsuits that are likely to follow? Lawsuits? You crazy? I mean, what? I mean, you know, they're doing it in hospitals and dentists and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, they said that smoking was not harmful to you either 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know, and look at what's coming back now. I think this is one of the things that I've work to call on the Open Hand website, is that there's two types of sovereignty. I spoke about this in the last live stream. There's the sovereignty of the absolute, which is sacrosanct, but there's also sovereignty in the relative, the sovereignty in life, in our movement, in our expression too. And so it felt right to me, certainly, to confront and to say, look, this is you're trying to make a contract with me to do this to me. Well, I'm saying yes, and I'm offering you a notice of liability that this is what could likely happen if you persist. And more and more people are doing this and challenging in a really big way. You know, the cryptocurrency movement, which to me is a tremendous means of decentralization in terms of trading, moving out of the central banking system. You know, the big media groups are being sued to the tune of $300 billion right now by the cryptocurrencies because they banned cryptocurrency advertising. Why did they do that? Because it's challenging the very hegemony of the mainstream banking system. So you're having people and organizations in different places challenging the lawfulness of the system itself, like, for example, the various measures that are now being introduced in the name of the pandemic, like wearing a mask or the temperature testing or this kind of thing. And this is very positive, but it needs more of us to be doing this right now. And there are underground, there are off-the-radar movements that are doing it across, certainly I'm aware of, in the UK and further afield. And that needs to grow, and it is growing. I would say this, though, to all those who are coming from a spiritual place. I really do empathize and accept that not everybody is going to want to be engaging at that level. That some people, that plenty of people, maybe more empathic, sensitive people, maybe wish to be more withdrawn from it, more less engaged with it, not confrontational. Did you want to hold your vibration? Did you want to hold the sense, the feeling of joy, of lightness, of connectivity? I totally get that. You know, and I think I'm slightly hesitant about using a militaristic analogy, but it feels entirely appropriate because we are being engaged in a war, as I believe it. And that is that there are many different constituents to an army. Some are more front lines, some are more special forces, some are more, you know, sending out this love bomb vibration. Some are doing that. Someone's just done one, dropped me one from upstairs so I can hear them coming through the roof. The kind of love bomb vibration. Some just want to sit there and hold that and radiate that. I totally get that. But some people have the faculties, the mental faculties as well, to engage on this plane and challenge in this way, using, for example, the common law. That's why I've felt so, it's so important to have focused on it in recent times. But you need to know what your role is, what your purpose is. And really to fulfill that now, to come into that role and play that role. Some people holding the ground, yeah, holding the space, vibrating a beautiful vibration, yes. And others doing that and also engaging. And it really is necessary, important to know your role. And not be withdrawn or hesitant because there's fear. That's not what this is about. It's recognizing your role. So that's utterly crucial right now because we are being engaged in this way, and it's no time to sleepwalk forwards. I did say, I have said, that I felt like the pathways were parting, and indeed, it appears to me that they are. And so it's really important to know, well, where is my pathway? Where am I going? Where is that taking me? And you may not see, you may not know the full picture and see where it's all culminating, and that's okay. But as long as you understand and know and feel, yes, I'm going in the direction of a greater opening, a greater awakening, a greater expansion and connection, becoming at one with the divine, it's crucial to be aware of that and make those choices which will guide you in that direction right now. Because there's no room, there's less and less room for sleepwalking along in the middle, just kind of cruising along, you know, just thinking, oh, it's kind of okay, I'm all right, sort of thing. Because we're going to come, I can tell you, we're going to come in some big crunch points. I can see them just up ahead coming along. I can see them, you know, particularly beginning of 2021. I can see a big crunch coming at that time. And we need to be ready for it consciously and in ourselves. And I have that intuition right now. I feel to share more about it further down the line as I get more insight into it. But I can feel a big crunch coming up. And so we need to be prepared for that. We need to be spiritually sovereign. We need to be connected with the soul. We need to be coming from the soul in day-to-day life. That's going to be crucial. And the time between now and then is going to be fundamental to prepare for that. So I felt, you know, it's important to express that. And one of the things we're working towards, so I mentioned at the beginning, and it's a big part of the open hand work right now, and that is the activation of the spirit light body. But also what I've recently started to talk about more often is the formation of something called the Merkaba, which is something spoken about in ancient spiritual scripture. What is the Merkaba? How does it relate to the spirit light body? Well, certainly in this approach, we see that every chakra is, it's not just about the chakras, but every chakra is connected into a different vibrational experience of a progressively higher frequency. And as soul consciousness infuses through the chakra, which is a consciousness exchange point, as a soul consciousness infuses through the chakra, it comes into a bodily vehicle of expression and a particular vibration. And the highest one, generally speaking, that is readily accessible in human form is the spirit light body connected through the crown chakra. And it's that feeling. It's why we meditate. When we meditate, we go up above the five senses and we feel the expansion and the connectivity as a feeling of lightness, and then bring it down through and around your being. That's the sense of it. You'd probably be able to bring it down to around about the heart level. To me, it doesn't want to go any lower than that. Because what I'm encouraged to do on the in-breath is bring up the consciousness of the lower self up toward the heart. And so what you start to realize is the base upward facing diamond, and facing upwards from the base, and one facing downwards or coming downwards, and the two interrelate around about the heart. That creates what's called the Merkaba. And really it's a kind of hybrid state for being both in this realm of existence and the higher realm of existence. So it's purification of the lower form, and because it purifies, it can blend with the purified higher self, the connected higher self. And so you have these two forms interrelating, and you can live in it here and now. And really what you're doing is you're channeling synchronicity, signs, synchronicity, flow, symbology. You're channeling that from the higher dimensions, and you're infusing it, you're bringing it, cascading it into the lower dimensions through the Merkaba. And that helps you mediate, permeate, move in an aligned way through the world, even though there's this big convolution, this big challenge of consciousness going on. And so that's becoming a fundamental part of the work, something for us all to engage in. It's something that I'll be talking about and working with people to activate on the upcoming world tour, which is about ascension activations, and it's taking place September, October, November. Check it out on the website. So it's all about the activation of that, the Merkaba, and what that means and how you feel it. And this is a great, great way of negating the impact of AI. It does not do well with spontaneity, with the kind of risk-taking entrepreneurship of the spirit light body and the signs and synchronicity and the flow. The AI doesn't do well with that because it's based on the predication of control. And as you activate this, as you embody in the Merkaba, it's like you set up a protective boundary from the intervention of those energies around you. You keep it out of your system, and you're informing your system with aligned consciousness, both through the lower vehicles and the higher ones. And that's really what the Merkaba is all about. And fascinatingly, another crop circle, we're in crop circle season here in the UK, and crop circles often appear in the Avebury area. It's known as, certainly to me, as Crop Circle Grand Central. And another crop circle has just appeared. And I want to show you this because I do believe it is showing us the Merkaba from above. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? So you've got these two. If you look in the center, you've got a diamond. You're looking down from above. and there's one coming up from the bottom. And you have around the outside, which would be representative of really probably also the flower of life, you have others. So you have people connecting, is what I see in it, people connecting by bringing the Merkaba alive. And this could also, the other representation of this could be the 5D crystalline grid. So it possibly has these two representations, but when I saw it, I felt, yeah, that's the Merkaba. Now, this is fascinating because, you know, speaking of mainstream media, the BBC had a story recently that, excuse me, you know, the Freedom Press International, shall we say, had this story about how these crop circles were made by people running out with planks and a couple of bits of string and just bending the crops over. Just take a look at this again for a moment. Now, when you see this close up, it's got all different shades and forms in it. The crops have been intricately bent, interwoven. It's on a massive scale. And here I am trying to imagine, you know, a bunch of gnomes coming out in the middle of the night with headlamps and, you know, lights on their helmets and planks of wood and bits of string trying to form this. And seriously, BBC, is that what you're trying to tell us? Ah, man. You just make fools of yourselves. That is the most stunning, beautiful, geometric design that you're ever likely to see. And when you're in it, you can feel it. You can feel the energy. You can feel the interconnectivity. You can feel that we're being spoken to. So, yeah. So to me, that is giving a clear representation of how we're being invited to come forth and engage in life right now through that vehicle, through the Merkaba. And what I felt to do was to share a meditation that gives the sense of what it's like to activate that and what you need to be attentive to work on to bring it active in your life. It's something that we're going to be working a good deal on in the upcoming courses and workshops, retreats in September, October, November. But I can give a sense of it now, and I thought that would be a good idea to complete with. So what I suggest is you just sit back and relax, straight back though, and close the eyes and bring attention to the breathing and relax. Inhale up, hold, exhale down. Witnessing in a kind of big sigh of surrender. A big sense of letting go. Again. A real letting go. And then come into the base chakra on the spine. Inhale, exhale. As you exhale, feel the physical body, especially below the waist. Attune to the physical so you know the sense of it, what it feels like. And you infuse it so there's no separation from it. Meaning you're not judging it. You're not forming a fixed and limited identity with it. It just is. It's just an experience. Inhale, exhale. Feel the vibration of the physical and let it be more wave-like, less solid. Then come up the spine to the sacrum. Inhale, exhale. You're now exhaling onto the plane of the emotions. If the physical was the earth, then you're now in water. The sense of that vibration. So the next layer of lightness. Come up the spine to the solar plexus. Inhale, exhale. Again, inhale, exhale. And this is the plane of the intellect. It's the plane where the AI is active. And it's important we don't attach to that. We don't attach to the mind. So the mind becomes like the sky. The background is the sky. And the thoughts are just like clouds. And the thoughts drift across the sky. And you don't attach to them, witness them, but don't get lost in them. Thoughts won't create an aligned future for you. They may inform, to some degree, the direction, but they won't create the aligned future for you. Inhale, exhale, let go on the plane of the intellect. Come up the spine to the back of the heart. Inhale, exhale. Feel the expansiveness. You're now in the causal plane, the plane of karma. It's like you're entering the outer atmosphere. You may feel disruption, vibrations that are karmic related. You may feel that in your field. You may feel it as if they're physical. Tightness, maybe. And then become a time for you to work with this karma. Take a look on the Open Hand website at a daily process of karma processing. Share some tools and techniques for working with that. Feel the softening right now, though. There is discomfort, just watch, let go through and around it. Feel the expansion around it. Come up to the back of the throat, inhale, exhale. We're expanding into the new paradigm now. It's an alive consciousness. It's like strip away all the synthetic from the planet and see, feel the rejuvenation of Mother Nature, vibrant colors, beautiful landscapes, oceans, sky, beautiful creatures, all vibrating with light frequency. This is what we're coming into. A renewed earth. Then come up to the back of the head, the back of the pineal, inhale, exhale. The third eye. Really now you're seeing the actualization of you as a being. And really, this is what it's all about. It's not about manifesting particular things, but the realization of yourself as a multidimensional cosmic being. What images do you see of yourself at this time? Not that we should hang on to them, but how might those images, those feelings, those senses inform your creative action? What becomes the direction and destiny of life, if not the actualization of self? And then the crown, inhale, exhale. And above the crown, and as you inhale, just hold the breath a while. So this is a spirit light body. It's a fine vibration. A dancing super intelligence, divine intelligence. It doesn't have fixed ideas and intentions. It's a flow of light emerging from the source and inviting you to dance into it, to move into it, to move with it, the flow of light. Lifting, holding, supporting, moving. Creating the form for you to express your authentic beingness and sovereignty. Now we're going to work to feel, sense the Merkaba. So inhale up, hold. And as you connect with the spirit light body, and then exhale down and bring the feeling sense down to the heart, like this diamond descending around you. Now as you inhale up, you bring the lower self, the bodily vehicles of the lower self, they interconnect, rise up, and the two merge around the area of the heart. Inhale up, hold. Exhale down through the heart, then inhale up from the base, bring the energy up to meet it, and you're sitting there in these interconnecting diamonds of energy, alive, totally alive with the magic, the synchronicity, the spontaneity of divine consciousness, risk-taking, joyful, free, sovereign. Feel it. Let yourself embody with that sense. And your consciousness is spiraling up through it. Your soul consciousness is spiraling up through it. Active Kundalini is ascending up through it and descending down through it. So you're in this diamond form. And your soul consciousness is animating through it. Get the sense, the feeling sense of that, and what it's like. It's so alive, invigorating, rejuvenating. All of that fog is gone. All of the need for an intention or a goal is gone. Here you are now, real, authentic, embodied. This is you. This is you in this plane now, embodying your light, vibrating your light. And that is the powerful antidote to what is happening all around us right now. softly, gently opening the eyes, and yet staying with that embodied sense, feeling, beautiful feeling of freedom, connectivity, openness, power as well. This is what we're going to be working on going forwards. And if you resonate, come and get involved. And if you feel there's people you know who will resonate with this, then please do share as well, because it's been a little challenging to get the message out there of late. We will succeed. We will find new ways, innovative ways to do that. But we could use your help too. So afterwards, this video will appear on our Facebook channel. Do share it, and then it will appear embedded on Open Hand website as well. As ever, it's been a pleasure. Brief, but really meaningful connecting with you. Thank you, wherever you are in the world, for showing up. These are pivotal times. Have no fear. If you have fear, unwind it, because we are here to succeed, and succeed we will. Namaste.